Your Bible tonight, we're going to study lesson number 11 on the subject of growth. And you are just going to be surprised as all get out in regard to the title tonight. The subject is this. I want to talk to you about how to grow your hate. How to grow your hate. H-A-T-E. Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter 6, we're going to find verse number 16. Why don't you stand with me, and we'll read Proverbs chapter 6, starting with verse number 16. Proverbs chapter 6, starting with verse 16, the Bible says this, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." Look back at me. The word abomination means he hates them intensely. So it is the abomination is a word that's somewhat equal to hate, but it's on steroids. Okay? All right. It says, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight as we take this simple thought of growing our hate mechanism properly. Bless us with thy Spirit's presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. God gave you your emotions. We were all created with emotions. But emotions are not to control us. We, through the Spirit's power, are to be in control of our emotions. So might I say to everybody in here, that's enough challenge for the night, just that right there. You are to be in control of your emotions. You say, how am I going to do that? You do that through submitting yourself to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. Now, did you know that we are to be like God? Well, if we're to be like God, and the Bible says in Proverbs 6, these six things doth the Lord hate, then the Bible would say to you and I, if we're to be like him and he hates, then there are things you and I are to hate. We're to hate. Hate's not bad. It's a little bit like a gun. A gun is not a bad thing. It depends on how it's used. And so... God hates some things. And with that in mind, you and I are to learn to hate some things. But we need to learn to hate properly. I know it sounds strange, but the very last point of my outline is this. And I'm going to say it now. I'm going to teach a lesson, and I'll get to this in a moment. But the last point of my outline is this. You know, part of child rearing is growing a child to know what they're supposed to hate. Every parent here, there are things that we ought to teach our children to hate. Now, if I may, I want to teach the lesson. How to grow in the area of that emotion of hatred and how to do it right. The founder of the Salvation Army, his name was General Booth. He said this. He said he feared the day when his organization preached a salvation without a regeneration and had a faith without a repentance and a heaven without a hell. We could add some things to that. We could have added some other opposites. He was saying, I fear the day when we talk about salvation, but there aren't people really getting saved. We could have added, you ought to fear the day when people love without hate. Love. You know, you cannot love properly without hating. The Bible teaches us that God is love. But wait a minute. These six things doth the Lord hate. If somebody says to you, God is just, he's just all love, that he's just all love, 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 love. Well, God is a God of love, but he's also a God of hate. And I'm sorry if somebody thinks they know better than the Bible about what God is, but they don't. God is a God of love and God is a God of hate. But you can't love without hating. And if you'll listen in the next few minutes, you'll see that. No quality is complete without its opposite. Here's what I mean. There's no high without a low. There's no hot without a cold. There's no large without a small. There's no plus without a minus. There's no patience without the possibility or probability of impatience. There's no good without a bad. There's no courage without fear. There's no faith without the potential of doubt. There's no strength without the potential of weakness. There's no gentleness without the possibility of harshness. There's no kindness without the possibility of unkindness. There is no self-control without the possibility of someone being out of control. There's no diligence without the potential of laziness. And to be honest, there's no true love without there being hate. Did you know until you hate the devil, you do not truly love God, right? Until you hate sin, you will not truly love righteousness and purity. You can't practice biblical love until you also practice biblical hate. Now, our liberal friends, this is almost impossible for them to, in their liberal way of thinking, to understand, because they are definitely the lovey-doveyest people you will ever meet. I mean, let's love this, love that, and we'll even love the devil. Well, I've got news for you. There comes a moment when love is supposed to stop. There are certain things that we're not to love. A person's proportion of love for good is in it probably in exact proportion to their hate for bad. You can't love God a lot and hate the devil a little. It's a little bit like a pendulum. Now, Brother Young is a science buff and he understands some of those science facts and things. And Brother Ron would understand it, not me. I just know what a pendulum does. I know that you take a pendulum that's swinging. As far as I pull it to the right and let it go, it can swing to the left, but no further. There is an opposite. Hot and cold. Up and down. Right and wrong. Fat and skinny. The pendulum won't swing toward love any further than it has swung toward hate. A gardener who loves flowers is going to hate weeds. An auto body man who loves cars hates rust. A doctor who loves health hates disease. A farmer who loves his crops hates the insects that destroy the crops. A judge who loves justice is going to hate crime. A preacher, by the way, a preacher who loves people hates any sin that could hurt people. Now that's where our liberal friends get all messed up. They say, well, if I preached against that sin, wouldn't that... Hey, when a man preaches against sin and he teaches people to hate that sin, he's showing that he loves those people. Any preacher that is not a sin fighter is not a people lover. Let me say that again. Any preacher that is not a sin fighter is not a people lover. People who love cleanliness hate dirtiness. We as Christians should hate what God hates. People know that hate is not a passive emotion, but it is an aggressive emotion. Now, everybody here, you ought to grow properly in regard to your hate. You know what happens to us, though? There are things you and I are supposed to hate, but we end up hating the wrong things. Everybody here hates. Everybody here hates something. But our problem is just like everything else in the Christian life. God told us to zig, and we want to zag. God said, I want you to get up, and we want to get down. And I'm not talking about dancing now. for you to love right, then you must hate right. And we are to grow in our hatred. And I know that sounds so odd, but it is scriptural. These six things doth the Lord hate. I'll prove it to you. Stay with me if you will. We should grow in our hatred for turning aside. Now, turning aside means quitting, getting off track. Let me read a verse to you. Psalm 101, verse 3, it says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Here, God is saying, I don't like it when people get off track and they get backslidden and when they quit, when they want to be quitters. He said, I hate when people turn aside. Now, did God say he hated the person that turned aside? No, he did not. But do you understand that when you get off track and you get away from God and when you're quitting on God, God hates that. He just hates it when that happens. Young people, don't be shocked that when you get off track, mom and dad hate that behavior. Well, God hates that behavior. God hates quitting. Not the quitter. He hates quitting. And anybody can be a quitter. I recommend you cut the word quit out of your dictionary. I went to Bible college in 1978. When I got there, my pastor stood up in Bible college and in a chapel service. He preached one whole sermon for about 45 minutes like a freight train out of control, beating on the pulpit saying, don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! And boy, I mean, he hammered and hammered. He said, a bunch of you, you'll start college as a freshman and you'll put your tail between your legs and you'll run home at Christmas time and not come back the second semester. He said, we have so many dropouts, but the first year, he said, you'll start out with a class of 800 people in Bible college as freshmen and then you graduate that very same class and there are only 200 of them left because the average person starts something that they won't finish it. He said, you need to learn to hate quitting, and if you started it, you learn to finish it. And don't you back off. Don't you be shut down. Don't you get lazy. Finish what you start. We were all sitting out there going, you know what? I finished. I finished again, then I finished again. I was so scared I was running. If they would have had more, I would have finished some more of them. I just didn't want to be a quitter. But you know, the bite, and you say, so what's the big deal? I don't know. God said he hates it when people quit. He hates it. Quitting's not honorable. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on your soul winning. Don't quit on your marriage. Brother and Mrs. Knopfsinger, next anniversary, 49 years. Is that right? Do you realize that's 98 years between them? Now, he looks like it, but she doesn't. Hey, don't quit on your bus route. Don't quit on your Sunday school class. Don't quit tithing, please. Don't quit. Quitters are a dime a dozen. I have never seen such a generation of quitters in my life. It's in epidemic stages. Don't be passive about quitting. Hate it. Quitting is a character flaw. Don't quit on your church. Don't quit on doing right. Now, you need to grow in the area of your quitting. There are some of you, you tend to want to quit things. Don't quit. Finish it. You say, it's hard. Oh, my. If you're a man and it's hard, if you'll see me after church, I can pat you on the head for a little while. Maybe we can rub your belly and make you feel better. But listen, God hates quitting. You know, there are people in this room, you need to grow in this area of hatred. You need to grow to hate quitting. Don't stop doing what's supposed to be done. You say, for how long? All the way till you get to heaven. Right. Secondly, we should grow in our hatred of every false way. Every false way. Listen to the verse. Psalm 119, verse 104 says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You know, this is hard again for your religious liberal crowd to understand. But when a so-called preacher stands in his so-called pulpit to tell folks that baptism will save them, God hates that. You say, why? That is a false way. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hey, let me emphasize those words differently. The way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father, but by him. You see, but when a preacher gets up and says, you can get to heaven by getting baptized, that's the wrong way. That's the wrong way. You say, how does God feel about that? He hates it. The Bible says he hates every false way. Now you say, why? Well, when it comes to salvation, I'll just guarantee you, God hates it because Jesus came, he died for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us. And salvation was through the blood and the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when somebody else comes along and turns salvation into something else, it's like spitting on what Jesus Christ did for us. No wonder God hates it. Hey, when a so-called preacher preaches you can lose your salvation, God hates that. God hates that. Why? Because God loves his plan of salvation. And it's a permanent thing. You should hate it. You should hate what God hates. When a so-called preacher preaches to you that you can work your way to heaven, God hates that. He hates it. He hates the false way. And I think the worst false way, the worst false doctrine known to man is anything other than salvation by grace through faith. That's the worst doctrine on the face of the earth. And it's been around since all the way back in the Garden of Eden. But when a so-called preacher preaches you can work your way to heaven, God hates that. He hates that. He loves his plan of salvation. When a so-called preacher preaches that only a select few can get saved. No, he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God hates it when someone says there's only a select few. He said that anyone that would come to repentance, he would save them. Hey, when a so-called preacher comes along and he says, if you'll join the church, that'll get you to heaven. God hates that. Why? It's a false doctrine. You can't join the church and get to heaven. You have to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's what will get you to heaven. Hey, when a so-called priest preaches to you, you can confess your sins to him and he can absolve them for salvation. God hates that. God hates that. There's only one to whom you can confess your sin. And it is the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ as personal Savior that's going to send you to hell. And you don't have to confess that to a man. You confess that to Jesus Christ himself. God hates it when people tamper with the plan of salvation. God hates every false way. And it doesn't merely say that God has a distaste for it. It said he hates it. So, you know what happens? A preacher stands up and believes the Bible where the Bible says there are some things God hates. And then there are people that would say, well, you're just hateful. Well, I guess. I don't know what else you call it. There are some things I'm supposed to hate. Now, if somebody says, Jeff Owens, you just hate people. Now you got a problem. I don't hate people. I love people. Everybody that's guilty of everything that God hates, I love the person. I hate the sin. You need to grow in your hatred. You need to learn to hate the false way. I hate the false way, but I'll tell you this. I don't hate the false preacher. If I meet some preacher in town here and he preaches a salvation that is a lie, I'll be kind to him. I'm not going to walk up and kick him in the shins. Now, my old pastor said if he was ever somewhere where the Pope was and the Pope stuck his toe out where the preacher could kiss it, he said, I think I'd probably bite it off instead of kiss it. But he said, you know, everybody's got their faults. But bottom line is there are some things I'm to hate. And folks, I have to tell you because I want you to understand if somebody ever looks down on you because there are some things that you hate, as long as what you hate is what God hates, you're doing the right thing. Now, make sure while you're hating what God hates that you love what God loves. And so we are to grow in our hatred for being quitters. We should grow in our hatred in regard to the false way. I think we should grow in our hatred, and this is where we're going to get a little closer to home. I think we should grow in our hatred for empty church ritual in our lives. Empty church ritual. You know, there are religions where they do all sorts of wacky, strange things, and we would look at them and, you know, they count their beads and they crawl on their knees into their sanctuary and everything. And we'd say, that's a bunch of tomfoolery. Well, we could be guilty of some pretty empty religious ritual ourselves. For instance, in Amos chapter 5, verse 21, it says this, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. God was saying there are sometimes your church service stinks, and I hate it. Why? maybe it's our attitude while we're at church. Let me ask you something. What kind of attitude do you come to church with? There's something that can happen with us in regard to being in church that God said, there are times when I hate that behavior right there. Did he know we were going to have cell phones and play with them during the church service? Did he know that we could actually sit here, stare right at the preacher and do this and not even be here? Did he know we had that potential? Did he know that we could solve all of work's problems while we're in church? But he said, I despise your feast days. I will not smell your solemn assemblies. So there was something about what was happening at church. And God said, I hate that kind of behavior. I think he hates our ritualistic offerings. Amos 5:22 says, though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of the fat of the beast. Now, this is right after verse 21. He's giving us a list of things that he hates. He hates the way we come, the attitude that we come to church with. Does he hate us? Oh no. Does he hate the bad attitude, the weak attitude, or the undirected attitude, not directed toward him, at church? Absolutely. Now it's talking about offerings. Can I tell y'all something? It'd probably be a good idea that we all stop and realize what a privilege it is to be giving to the Lord. Amen. Giving to the Lord. He said, watch your attitude in giving to the Lord. He said, I hate it when you give with the wrong attitude. And he told us, don't give begrudgingly. Give out of a pure heart and give with a joyous heart. Then in verse 23, he talks about ritualistic music. Amos 5:23, it says, take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you come to church and you play music or you sing music, but the truth of the matter is you don't even believe what you're singing. So you're a fake. Now, does God hate you? Oh, no. For God so loved the world. You're part of it. But does he like it when you come to church? Hey, you come in here and you sing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. You never tell anybody about Jesus. But you'll sing the song, you just have a good old time talking about bringing in the sheaves, but you never witnessed anybody. I think God said, well, what is this? You just use the doctrines of the Bible to entertain you, put a little melody to it? Are we supposed to just listen to it sung or live it? We sing, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Everybody ought to sing that song how it applies to them. Sweet 10 minutes of prayer. Sweet prayer over a sandwich, maybe one time today I prayed. I think that when we become ritualistic in church with our prayers, I think God said, I hate it when you do what you do in such an empty way. I think God hates... Listen, you get up here and you sing a song in church, hey, choir, you know what we ought to do? We ought to stand up here and sing and mean what we're singing and believe what we're singing and be a decent example of it. You young people, the teen choir will sing on Sunday morning. Don't you be a phony baloney, stand up here and sing and be living like an animal outside the church. You say, what's the deal? God said, I hate it when you do that. Does God hate you? No, God loves every one of you. He loves you. But he hates the emptiness, the religiousness. God hates it when we're guilty of insincere worship and insincere praise. God hates it when the church has a humdrum insincerity about it. God hates that. In other words, don't play religion. Be real. Just be real. So you and I, we're to be growing. And at what? Well, we're to grow at this thing of being a quitter on God. You grow and you learn. And you say, well, I used to want to quit every day and now I'm down to once every other day. Good. Let's make it once every third day and then once every fourth day and once every fifth day. And it ought not be that once every week you're wanting to quit. Grow out of that. But then we ought to grow in our hatred for the false way. We ought to see what God calls a false way and learn to hate it. Then we should hate empty church ritual. Then, I think we ought to grow in our hatred for evil. You say, why? Because evil is something that God hates. Everything I've mentioned, God hates these things. He's our example. Zechariah 8:17 says, "And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these things that I hate, saith the Lord." We should hate this thing of having an evil heart against our neighbor. You're not to have evil feelings toward a brother or a sister in Christ. God hates it when you have unkindness in your heart toward someone in your church. God hates bitterness that gets harbored. God hates what we call our grudges. God hates a negative, critical attitude. He hates it when we gossip about one another. And I want to remind everybody, and I don't think we have a lot of gossip in our church. And you'll find out it really won't matter to me who you are. You're going to find out I don't like gossip. I don't like it. You say, "Preacher, but what I said was true." Well, where in the Bible does God tell you to go around spreading even true things that you know about somebody else? You say, "Well, I think it ought to be told." Well, good. Then maybe God ought to tell us everything about you. Because he knows everything about you. Everything that you think, everything that you are. It's funny. God's not the one that told us that negative about someone. He seemed to keep his mouth shut, didn't he? God hates the gossip and the unkindness. Now, does God hate the people? No. Folks, you know this, and I've said this before. This church was taught this before I got here, and it's because it's in the Bible. Sin and evil are not exactly the same. Sin is where we break the law. Evil, really, to define evil, is when we do things that hurt others. And it's almost a conspiracy to hurt someone. Let me tell you something. God hates that. God hates evil. God, do you know that he even said he hates it when someone sows discord among the brethren? Wow. He hates it. In other words, you cause in the church just the slightest bit of discord. God says, "I hate that." So what are we to do? We're to grow. We're to grow in these areas. Grow. I hate discord. I don't like tension among God's people. And we're to learn to hate that. We need to grow into hating that, which means we need to watch that we don't cause that sort of a thing. Let me tell you another one. We should grow in our hatred toward whatever God hates. You and I, now we hear a lot of preaching and teaching about love, and we should. Love's a major part of the Christian life. And for you to hear me get up here and say, and I am, I'm going to teach one whole lesson on growing in our love. But that's common. You say, "Boy, I don't want to hear about growing in my love." We need to learn how to hate what God hates. It's a part of growth in the Christian life. Why don't you make a decision that you'll hate what God hates? For instance, Proverbs 6:17 says, "A proud look, a lying tongue." God hates a lying tongue. You and I are to be honest. We're not to tell little white lies, as we call them. You are to tell the truth. The Bible teaches that God hates idolatry. Jeremiah 44:4 says, "Howbeit, I send unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate." They were committing idolatry, and God hated that. You say, what's idolatry? It's when you put anything before God. The Bible says God hates a proud look, Proverbs 6:17. And a proud look is not just a facial expression. It's got its roots in your heart. God hates the murder of the innocent, Proverbs 6:17. You say, the murder of the innocent. I can't think of anything more innocent than a brand new baby. God hates abortion. And I know that's not politically correct, but it's biblically correct. And I don't think the world has any sense trying to tell those of us that are preaching the pure book how to preach it. They don't know what they're talking about anyway out there. The Bible teaches that God hates the murder of the innocent. If you want to love the way God loves you, you're going to have to learn to hate what God hates. And then I'll say this, and I'm done. I told you earlier, I believe teaching our children to hate the right things is a part of child rearing. Our children have to learn to hate sin. It's a must if you want them to love righteousness. I'll tell you, our nation is falling apart, and they have been working so hard at trying to take the bite out of everything. Do you know all across the nation, they're trying very, very hard to make it so children that fail in class don't get an F anymore. They take the bite out of it. They don't want you calling a they don't want you to call someone, for instance, a terrorist. They're trying everything under the sun not to use the word terrorist. Look, if they're a terrorist, they're a terrorist. Say it. But they want to take the bite out of it. And they've been working very, very hard at that. Now, listen, we're to learn the difference between right and wrong. We are living in a society that want those two things to almost blend together. It's not supposed to be that way. There is a right and there is a wrong in some instances, and it just needs to be accepted. So I think that as we rear our young people, they need to be taught there is a right and there is a wrong. And there are some things that we're to hate in life. I think if you teach a child to hate liquor, they're less apt to ever try it. But when you're passive about it, and you're afraid to say it's sin, you would not believe the percentage of preachers that will not just get right up and say, that's sin! They won't do it. They won't do it. They sidestep it. They skirt the issue. You're gonna have all sorts of teenage girls getting pregnant out of wedlock if preachers will not say, keep your hands off of each other till you're married. Go to the wedding altar pure, clean, and virgin. They won't say that. And they think that they think they're doing society a favor. Well, I don't want to be a hate monger. You're supposed to hate sin. You're supposed to hate sin. But I don't hate people. I'm just going to keep on yelling and screaming and saying, kids, you just stay pure until you get married. And then I'll turn right around and I'll say this to you too. I'll tell you what, if you get in trouble, if you do what your preacher told you not to do and you're in trouble, I'll be the first one there to help you. Because I don't hate you. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at sin. And I'm mad at the devil. And so, and I hope that through the years we'll find this out about each other. I hope when somebody says, that guy right there, he's just a hater, I hope I'll be able to say, yeah, well, he hates sin, but he loves people. They just don't understand the concept. And I hope when they say, ah, he's just mean. You're right. I get awful mean when it comes to drunk driving accidents and druggies out there that are pumping drugs into our kids. And sure, I'm going to get mean about that. And without apology. But at the same time, I know all sorts of drug addicts and drunks and awful rough people I've been helping and loving for a long, long time. But I'm not going to stop hating wrong in an effort to help the person that is wrong. So I think even good child rearing demands that we teach them the balance of love and hate. So we all need to grow. And I know it sounds so odd, but we need to grow properly in the area of hatred. Don't hate people. Don't hate the sinner. Hate the sin. And God said there's some things He just flat out hates. That message will become less and less popular as the years go by. Remember, there's no high without a low. There's no hot without a cold. There's no large without a small, no plus without a minus. No patience without impatience, courage without fear, strength without weakness. And so you realize. You say, I'm the best Christian in the world and there is no hate in me at all. Then you're not as good a Christian as what you think. Because there is no love without hate. And my God, who is the ultimate lover, is also the ultimate hater. He hates what's to be hated. He loves what's to be loved. Let's grow our love, sure. But your love is going to grow as your hate grows for the things that oppose love and oppose right. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to have a brief altar call if you need a moment at the altar. Maybe you've gotten caught up in some of the liberal way of thinking. It's lovey, 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 lovey-dovey all the time. Well, yes, yes, we're to love, but boy, there's an opposite reaction there. The pendulum swings both ways. You will never love like you're supposed to love until you hate what you're supposed to hate. Oh, and I know some Christians that they just hate everything and everybody and they think they're a good Christian. No, you're to love people. There's a lot of things you're to be loving while you're busy hating others. If you need the altar, we're going to have an altar call and you may come. Maybe you need a moment on your knees. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Young people, learn to hate that which is wrong and learn to love that which is right. I never want you to hate people. I want you to love people. But I want you to hate wrong. Learn to hate it in your own life. What you'll do, if you don't learn to hate it, you'll find yourself constantly justifying your misbehavior. If you can learn to hate the wrong, you're less apt to do it. If you constantly justify your misbehavior and you don't hate it, you're passive toward it, you're more apt to repeat it, and that sin's going to mess you up. God gave us emotions. He wants us to use them properly. Your emotions are to be a tool in God's hand and in your hand. You're not to be a tool in your emotions' hand, but vice versa. Learn to love. Learn to hate. Let both grow in your life. Your Bible tonight, we're going to study lesson number 11 on the subject of growth. And you are just going to be surprised as all get out in regard to the title tonight. The subject is this. I want to talk to you about how to grow your hate. How to grow your hate. H-A-T-E. Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to find verse number 16. Why don't you stand with me? And we'll read Proverbs chapter 6, starting with verse number 16. Proverbs chapter 6, starting with verse 16, the Bible says this: These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Look back at me. The word abomination means he hates them intensely. So it is the abomination is a word that's somewhat equal to hate, but it's on steroids. Okay? All right. It says, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight as we take this simple thought of growing our hate mechanism properly. Bless us with thy Spirit's presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. God gave you your emotions. We were all created with emotions. But emotions are not to control us. We, through the Spirit's power, are to be in control of our emotions. So, might I say to everybody in here, that's enough challenge for the night, just that right there. You are to be in control of your emotions. You say, how am I going to do that? You do that through submitting yourself to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. Now, did you know that we are to be like God? Well, if we're to be like God, and the Bible says in Proverbs 6, these six things doth the Lord hate, then the Bible would say to you and I, if we're to be like Him, and he hates, then there are things you and I are to hate. We're to hate. Hate's not bad. It's a little bit like a gun. A gun is not a bad thing. It depends on how it's used. And so God hates some things. And with that in mind, you and I are to learn to hate some things, but we need to learn to hate properly. I know it sounds strange, but the very last point of my outline is this, and I'm going to say it now. I'm going to teach a lesson, and I'll get to this in a moment, but the last point of my outline is this. You know, part of child rearing is growing a child to know what they're supposed to hate. Every parent here, there are things that we ought to teach our children to hate. Now, if I may, I want to teach the lesson. How to grow in the area of that emotion of hatred and how to do it right. The founder of the Salvation Army, his name was General Booth. He said this. He said he feared the day when his organization preached a salvation without a regeneration and had a faith without a repentance and a heaven without a hell. We could add some things to that. We could have added some other opposites. He was saying, I fear the day when we talk about salvation, but there aren't people really getting saved. We could have added, you ought to fear the day when people love without hate. Love. You know, you cannot love properly without hating. The Bible teaches us that God is love. But wait a minute. These six things doth the Lord hate. If somebody says to you, God is just, he's just all love, that he's just all love, 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 love. Well, God is a God of love, but he's also a God of hate. And I'm sorry if somebody thinks they know better than the Bible about what God is, but they don't. God is a God of love and God is a God of hate. But you can't love without hating. And if you'll listen in the next few minutes, you'll see that. No quality is complete without its opposite. Here's what I mean. There's no high without a low. There's no hot without a cold. There's no large without a small. There's no plus without a minus. There's no patience without the possibility or probability of impatience. There's no good without a bad. There's no courage without fear. There's no faith without the potential of doubt. There's no strength without the potential of weakness. There's no gentleness without the possibility of harshness. There's no kindness without the possibility of unkindness. There is no self-control without the possibility of someone being out of control. There's no diligence without the potential of laziness. And to be honest, there's no true love without there being hate. Did you know until you hate the devil, you do not truly love God right? Until you hate sin, you will not truly love righteousness and purity. You can't practice biblical love until you also practice biblical hate. Now, our liberal friends, this is almost impossible for them to, in their liberal way of thinking, to understand because they are definitely the lovey-doveyest people you will ever meet. I mean, let's love this, love that, and we'll even love the devil. Well, I've got news for you. There comes a moment when love is supposed to stop. There are certain things that we're not to love. A person's proportion of love for good is in it probably in exact proportion to their hate for bad. You can't love God a lot and hate the devil a little. It's a little bit like a pendulum. Now, Brother Young is a science buff and he understands some of those science facts and things. And Brother Ron would understand it, not me. I just know what a pendulum does. I know that you take a pendulum that's swinging. As far as I pull it to the right and let it go, it can swing to the left, but no further. There is an opposite. hot and cold, up and down, right and wrong, fat and skinny. The pendulum won't swing toward love any further than it has swung toward hate. A gardener who loves flowers is going to hate weeds. An auto body man who loves cars hates rust. A doctor who loves health hates disease. A farmer who loves his crops hates the insects that destroy the crops. A judge who loves justice is going to hate crime. A preacher, by the way, a preacher who loves people hates any sin that could hurt people. Now that's where our liberal friends get all messed up. They say, well, if I preached against that sin, wouldn't that, hey, when a man preaches against sin and he teaches people to hate that sin, he's showing that he loves those people. Any preacher that is not a sin fighter is not a people lover. Let me say that again. Any preacher that is not a sin fighter is not a people lover. People who love cleanliness hate dirtiness. We as Christians should hate what God hates. People know that hate is not a passive emotion, but it is an aggressive emotion. Now, everybody here, you ought to grow properly in regard to your hate. You know what happens to us, though? There are things you and I are supposed to hate, but we end up hating the wrong things. Everybody here hates. Everybody here hates something. But our problem is just like everything else in the Christian life. God told us to zig, and we want to zag. God said, I want you to get up, and we want to get down. And I'm not talking about dancing now. But for you to love right, then you must hate right. And we are to grow in our hatred. And I know that sounds so odd, but it is scriptural. These six things doth the Lord hate. I'll prove it to you. Stay with me if you will. We should grow in our hatred for turning aside. Now, turning aside means quitting, getting off track. Let me read a verse to you. Psalm 101, verse 3, it says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Here, God is saying, I don't like it when people get off track and they get backslidden and when they quit, when they want to be quitters. He said, I hate when people turn aside. Now, did God say he hated the person that turned aside? No, he did not. But do you understand that when you get off track and you get away from God and when you're quitting on God, God hates that. He just hates it when that happens. Young people, don't be shocked that when you get off track, mom and dad hate that behavior. Well, God hates that behavior. God hates quitting. Not the quitter. He hates quitting. And anybody can be a quitter. I recommend you cut the word quit out of your dictionary. I went to Bible college in 1978. When I got there, my pastor stood up in Bible college and in a chapel service, he preached one whole sermon for about 45 minutes like a freight train out of control, beating on the pulpit saying, don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! And boy, I mean, he hammered and hammered. He said, a bunch of you, you'll start college as a freshman and you'll put your tail between your legs and you'll run home at Christmas time and not come back the second semester. He said, we have so many dropouts, but the first year, he said, you'll start out with a class of 800 people in Bible college as freshmen and then you graduate that very same class and there are only 200 of them left because the average person starts something that they won't finish it. He said, you need to learn to hate quitting, and if you started it, you learn to finish it. And don't you back off. Don't you be shut down. Don't you get lazy. Finish what you start. We were all sitting out there going, you know what? I finished. I finished again, then I finished again. I was so scared I was running. If they would have had more, I would have finished some more of them. I just didn't want to be a quitter. But you know, the bite, and you say, so what's the big deal? I don't know. God said he hates it when people quit. He hates it. Quitting's not honorable. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on your soul winning. Don't quit on your marriage. Brother and Mrs. Knopfsinger, next anniversary, 49 years. Is that right? Do you realize that's 98 years between them? Now, he looks like it, but she doesn't. Hey, don't quit on your bus route. Don't quit on your Sunday school class. Don't quit tithing. Please, don't quit. Quitters are a dime a dozen. I have never seen such a generation of quitters in my life. It's in epidemic stages. Don't be passive about quitting. Hate it. Quitting is a character flaw. Don't quit on your church. Don't quit on doing right. Now, you need to grow in the area of your quitting. There's some of you, you tend to want to quit things. Don't quit. Finish it. You say, it's hard. Oh, my. If you're a man and it's hard, if you'll see me after church, I can pat you on the head for a little while. Maybe we can rub your belly and make you feel better. But listen, God hates quitting. You know, there are people in this room, you need to grow in this area of hatred. You need to grow to hate quitting. Don't stop doing what's supposed to be done. You say, for how long? All the way till you get to heaven. Right. Secondly, we should grow in our hatred of every false way. Every false way. Listen to the verse. Psalm 119, verse 104 says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You know, this is hard again for your religious liberal crowd to understand. But when a so-called preacher stands in his so-called pulpit to tell folks that baptism will save them, God hates that. You say, why? That is a false way. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me emphasize those words differently. The way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father, but by Him. You see, but when a preacher gets up and says, you can get to heaven by getting baptized, that's the wrong way. That's the wrong way. You say, how does God feel about that? He hates it. The Bible says He hates every false way. Now you say, why? Well, when it comes to salvation, I'll just guarantee you, God hates it because Jesus came, He died for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us, and salvation was through the blood and the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when somebody else comes along and turns salvation into something else, it's like spitting on what Jesus Christ did for us. No wonder God hates it. Hey, when a so-called preacher preaches you can lose your salvation, God hates that. God hates that. Why? Because God loves His plan of salvation. And it's a permanent thing. You should hate it. You should hate what God hates. When a so-called preacher preaches to you that you can work your way to heaven, God hates that. He hates it. He hates the false way. And I think the worst false way, the worst false doctrine known to man is anything other than salvation by grace through faith. That's the worst doctrine on the face of the earth. And it's been around since all the way back in the Garden of Eden. But when a so-called preacher preaches you can work your way to heaven, God hates that. He hates that. He loves His plan of salvation. When a so-called preacher preaches that only a select few can get saved. No, He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God hates it when someone says there's only a select few. He said that anyone that would come to repentance, He would save them. Hey, when a so-called preacher comes along and he says, if you'll join the church, that'll get you to heaven. God hates that. Why? It's a false doctrine. You can't join the church and get to heaven. You have to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's what will get you to heaven. Hey, when a so-called priest preaches to you, you can confess your sins to him and he can absolve them for salvation. God hates that. God hates that. There's only one to whom you can confess your sin. And it is the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ as personal Savior that's going to send you to hell. And you don't have to confess that to a man. You confess that to Jesus Christ Himself. God hates it when people tamper with the plan of salvation. God hates every false way. And it doesn't merely say that God has a distaste for it. It said He hates it. So, you know what happens? A preacher stands up and believes the Bible where the Bible says there are some things God hates. And then there are people that would say, well, you're just hateful. Well, I guess. I don't know what else you call it. There are some things I'm supposed to hate. Now, if somebody says, Jeff Owens, you just hate people. Now you got a problem. I don't hate people. I love people. Everybody that's guilty of everything that God hates, I love the person. I hate the sin. You need to grow in your hatred. You need to learn to hate the false way. I hate the false way, but I'll tell you this. I don't hate the false preacher. If I meet some preacher in town here and he preaches a salvation that is a lie, I'll be kind to him. I'm not going to walk up and kick him in the shins. Now, my old pastor said if he was ever somewhere where the Pope was and the Pope stuck his toe out where the preacher could kiss it, he said, I think I'd probably bite it off instead of kiss it. But he said, you know, everybody's got their faults. But bottom line is there are some things I'm to hate. And folks, I have to tell you because I want you to understand if somebody ever looks down on you because there are some things that you hate, as long as what you hate is what God hates, you're doing the right thing. Now, make sure while you're hating what God hates that you love what God loves. And so we are to grow in our hatred for being quitters. We should grow in our hatred in regard to the false way. I think we should grow in our hatred, and this is where we're going to get a little closer to home. I think we should grow in our hatred for empty church ritual in our lives. Empty church ritual. You know, there are religions where they do all sorts of wacky, strange things, and we would look at them and, you know, they count their beads and they crawl on their knees into the their sanctuary and everything. And we'd say, that's a bunch of tomfoolery. Well, we could be guilty of some pretty empty religious ritual ourselves. For instance, in Amos chapter 5, verse 21, it says this, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. God was saying there are, sometimes your church service stinks, and I hate it. Why? Maybe it's our attitude while we're at church. Let me ask you something. What kind of attitude do you come to church with? There's something that can happen with us in regard to being in church that God said, there are times when I hate that behavior right there. Did he know we were going to have cell phones and play with them during the church service? Did he know that we could actually sit here, stare right at the preacher and do this and not even be here? Did he know we had that potential? Did he know that we could solve all of work's problems while we're in church? But he said, I despise your feast days. I will not smell your solemn assemblies. So there was something about what was happening at church. And God said, I hate that kind of behavior. I think he hates our ritualistic offerings. Amos 5:22 says, though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of the fat of the beast. Now, this is right after verse 21, he's giving us a list of things that he hates. He hates the way we come, the attitude that we come to church with. Does he hate us? Oh no. Does he hate the bad attitude, the weak attitude, or the undirected attitude, not directed toward him, at church? Absolutely. Now it's talking about offerings. Can I tell y'all something? It'd probably be a good idea that we all stop and realize what a privilege it is to be giving to the Lord. Giving to the Lord. He said, watch your attitude in giving to the Lord. He said, I hate it when you give with the wrong attitude. And he told us, don't give begrudgingly. Give out of a pure heart and give with a joyous heart. Then in verse 23, he talks about ritualistic music. Amos 5:23, it says, take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you come to church and maybe you play music or you sing music, but the truth of the matter is you don't even believe what you're singing. So you're a fake. Now, does God hate you? Oh, no. For God so loved the world. You're part of it. But does he like it when you come to church? Hey, you come in here and you sing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. You never tell anybody about Jesus. But you'll sing the song, you just have a good old time talking about bringing in the sheaves, but you never witnessed to anybody. I think God said, well, what is this? You just use the doctrines of the Bible to entertain you, put a little melody to it?
Are we supposed to just listen to it sung or live it?
We sing, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer.
Everybody ought to sing that song, how it applies to them.
Sweet 10 minutes of prayer. Sweet prayer over a sandwich, maybe one time today I prayed. I think that when we become ritualistic in church with our prayers, I think God said, I hate it when you do what you do in such an empty way. I think God hates... Listen, you get up here and you sing a song in church, whether, hey, choir, you know what we ought to do? We ought to stand up here and sing and mean what we're singing and believe what we're singing and be a decent example of it. You young people, the teen choir will sing on Sunday morning. Don't you be a phony baloney, stand up here and sing and be living like an animal outside the church. You say, what's the deal? God said, I hate it when you do that. Does God hate you? No, God loves every one of you. He loves you. But He hates the emptiness, the religiousness. God hates it when we're guilty of insincere worship and insincere praise. God hates it when the church has a humdrum insincerity about it. God hates that. In other words, don't play religion. Be real. Just be real. So you and I, we're to be growing. And at what? Well, we're to grow at this thing of being a quitter on God. You grow and you learn. And you say, well, I used to want to quit every day and now I'm down to once every other day. Good. Let's make it once every third day and then once every fourth day and once every fifth day. And it ought not be that once every week you're wanting to quit. Grow out of that. But then we ought to grow in our hatred for the false way. We ought to see what God calls a false way and learn to hate it. Then we should hate empty church ritual. Then, I think we ought to grow in our hatred for evil. You say, why? Because evil is something that God hates. Everything I've mentioned, God hates these things. He's our example. Zechariah 8:17 says, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these things that I hate, all these things that I hate, saith the Lord. We should hate this thing of having an evil heart against our neighbor. You're not to have evil feelings toward a brother or a sister in Christ. God hates it when you have unkindness in your heart toward someone in your church. God hates bitterness that gets harbored. God hates what we call our grudges. God hates a negative, critical attitude. He hates it when we gossip about one another. And I want to remind everybody, and I don't think we have a lot of gossip in our church. And you'll find out it really won't matter to me who you are. You're going to find out I don't like gossip. I don't like it. You say, preacher, but what I said was true. Well, where in the Bible does God tell you to go around spreading even true things that you know about somebody else? You say, well, I think it ought to be told. Well, good. Then maybe God ought to tell us everything about you. Because He knows everything about you. Everything that you think, everything that you are. It's funny. God's not the one that told us that negative about someone. He seemed to keep his mouth shut, didn't he? So, God hates the gossip and the unkindness. Now, does God hate the people? No. Folks, you know this, and I've said this before. This church was taught this before I got here, and it's because it's in the Bible. Sin and evil are not exactly the same. Sin is where we break the law. Evil, really, to define evil, it's when we do things that hurt others. And it's almost a conspiracy to hurt someone. Let me tell you something. God hates that. God hates evil. God, do you know that He even said He hates it when someone sows discord among the brethren? Wow. He hates it. In other words, you cause in the church just the slightest bit of discord. God says, I hate that. So what are we to do? We're to grow. We're to grow in these areas. Grow. I hate discord. I don't like tension among God's people. And we're to learn to hate that. We need to grow into hating that, which means we need to watch that we don't cause that sort of a thing. Let me tell you another one. We should grow in our hatred toward whatever God hates.
You and I, now, we hear a lot of preaching and teaching about love, and we should. Love's a major part of the Christian life. And for you to hear me get up here and say, and I am, I'm going to teach one whole lesson on growing in our love. But that's common. You say, boy, I don't want to hear about growing in my love. We need to learn how to hate what God hates. It's a part of growth in the Christian life. Why don't you make a decision that you'll hate what God hates? For instance, Proverbs 6:17 says, a proud look, a lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. You and I are to be honest. We're not to tell little white lies, as we call them. You're to tell the truth. The Bible teaches that God hates idolatry. Jeremiah 44:4 says, howbeit I send unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. They were committing idolatry, and God hated that. You say, what's idolatry? It's when you put anything before God. The Bible says God hates a proud look, Proverbs 6:17. And a proud look is not just a facial expression. It's got its roots in your heart. God hates the murder of the innocent, Proverbs 6:17. You say, the murder of the innocent. I can't think of anything more innocent than a brand new baby. God hates abortion. And I know that's not politically correct, but it's biblically correct. And I don't think the world has any sense trying to tell those of us that are preaching the pure book how to preach it. They don't know what they're talking about anyway out there. The Bible teaches that God hates the murder of the innocent. If you want to love the way God loves you, you're going to have to learn to hate what God hates. And then I'll say this and I'm done. I told you earlier, I believe teaching our children to hate the right things is a part of child rearing. Our children have to learn to hate sin. It's a must if you want them to love righteousness. I'll tell you, our nation is falling apart, and they have been working so hard at trying to take the bite out of everything. You know, all across the nation, they're trying very, very hard to make it so children that fail in class don't get an F anymore. They take the bite out of it. They don't want you calling a they don't want you to call someone, for instance, a terrorist. They're trying everything under the sun not to use the word terrorist. Look, if they're a terrorist, they're a terrorist. Say it. But they want to take the bite out of it. And they've been working very, very hard at that. Now, listen, we're to learn the difference between right and wrong. We are living in a society that want those two things almost blend together. It's not supposed to be that way. There is a right and there is a wrong in some instances, and it just needs to be accepted. So I think that as we rear our young people, they need to be taught there is a right and there is a wrong. And there are some things that we're to hate in life. I think if you teach a child to hate liquor, they're less apt to ever try it. But when you're passive about it, and you're afraid to say it's sin, you would not believe the percentage of preachers that will not just get right up and say, that's sin! They won't do it. They won't do it. They sidestep it. They skirt the issue. You're going to have all sorts of teenage girls getting pregnant out of wedlock if preachers will not say, keep your hands off of each other till you're married. Go to the wedding altar pure, clean, and virgin. They won't say that. And they think that they think they're doing society a favor. Oh, I don't want to be a hate monger. You're supposed to hate sin. You're supposed to hate sin. But I don't hate people. I'm just going to keep on yelling and screaming and saying, kids, you just stay pure until you get married. And then I'll turn right around and I'll say this to you too. I'll tell you what, if you get in trouble, if you do what your preacher told you not to do and you're in trouble, I'll be the first one there to help you. Because I don't hate you. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at sin. And I'm mad at the devil. And so, and I hope that through the years we'll find this out about each other. I hope when somebody says, that guy right there, he's just a hater, I hope I'll be able to say, yeah, well, he hates sin, but he loves people. They just don't understand the concept. And I hope when they say, "Ah, he's just mean." You're right. I get awful mean when it comes to drunk driving accidents and druggies out there that are pumping drugs into our kids. And sure, I'm going to get mean about that, and without apology. But at the same time, I know all sorts of drug addicts and drunks and awful rough people I've been helping and loving for a long, long time. But I'm not going to stop hating wrong in an effort to help the person that is wrong. So I think even good child rearing demands that we teach them the balance of love and hate. So we all need to grow. And I know it sounds so odd, but we need to grow properly in the area of hatred. Don't hate people. Don't hate the sinner. Hate the sin. And God said there's some things He just flat out hates. That message will become less and less popular as the years go by. Remember, there's no high without a low. There's no hot without a cold. There's no large without a small, no plus without a minus. No patience without impatience, courage without fear, strength without weakness. And so you realize. You say, "I'm the best Christian in the world and there is no hate in me at all." Then you're not as good a Christian as what you think. Because there is no love without hate. And my God, who is the ultimate lover, is also the ultimate hater. He hates what's to be hated. He loves what's to be loved. Let's grow our love, sure. But your love is going to grow as your hate grows for the things that oppose love and oppose right. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to have a brief altar call if you need a moment at the altar. Maybe you've gotten caught up in some of the liberal way of thinking. It's lovey, 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 lovey-dovey all the time. Well, yes, yes, we're to love, but boy, there's an opposite reaction there. The pendulum swings both ways. You will never love like you're supposed to love until you hate what you're supposed to hate. Oh, and I know some Christians that they just hate everything and everybody and they think they're a good Christian. No, you're to love people. There's a lot of things you're to be loving while you're busy hating others. If you need the altar, we're going to have an altar call and you may come. Maybe you need a moment on your knees. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Young people, learn to hate that which is wrong and learn to love that which is right. I never want you to hate people. I want you to love people. But I want you to hate wrong. Learn to hate it in your own life. What you'll do, if you don't learn to hate it, you'll find yourself constantly justifying your misbehavior. If you can learn to hate the wrong, you're less apt to do it. If you constantly justify your misbehavior and you don't hate it, you're passive toward it, you're more apt to repeat it, and that sin's going to mess you up. God gave us emotions. He wants us to use them properly. Your emotions are to be a tool in God's hand and in your hand. You're not to be a tool in your emotions' hand, but vice versa. Learn to love. Learn to hate. Let both grow in your life.